Goedenavond, luisteraars. U luistert naar de uitzending van Joshua Radio in de zendtijd van Radio Zefania. Ik groet u in de wonderbare naam van Jezus Christus, onze Heer en Heiland. Wonderbare raadsman, sterke God, eeuwige Vader, vredevorst. Heilig, heilig, heilig is uw naam. Dank u, Vader, mijn God, voor de afgelopen dag. Dank u voor dit moment. We dragen deze uitzending aan u op, Vader, mijn God, Heer. En we bidden, Heer, om alles te leiden naar uw wil, Heer. Niet van mij, maar alles van u. In de naam van Jezus. En zoals Paulus spreekt in Colossenzen, hiervoor span ik mij ook in onder zware strijd naar zijn werking die in mij werkt met kracht. Dank u daarvoor, Heiland. In Jezus' naam. Amen. Voor ons heeft u kunnen luisteren naar Radio Parousia. We hebben het overgenomen. Het is een 1-urige uitzending. En vrijdag en zaterdag, dan zijn we er ook. Vanaf 12 uur middernacht. Luister naar de Nederlandstalig nummer.
Maar toen u kwam, werd alles nieuw. Alles werd nieuw. Ja, toen u kwam, wonen in mij, werd alles.
Dat was alles werd nieuw.
little as much when God is in it. Sing it, Larry.
In the harvest field, now ripened, the master's voice is calling to his harvest. He's calling you. Now does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is is ended and our race on this earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful,
luister naar een lied van Jimmy Swaggart.
This is what it says.
There's a whole lot of people going home. By the signs of
Jimmy Swaggart. Goed, we gaan nu luisteren naar een gebed. Als Frank Sinatra. Prachtige stem. Nou, ik ga nog een nummer van deze man afdraaien. Luister naar dit lied. Dan hoort u die stem, net als Frank Sinatra. Geraakt. Hij heeft mij genezen. Halleluja. Prijs de naam van Jezus.
Take a name.
Jesus, lover of my soul. Luister naar het woord van God.
Yes, sir. I'm ready. Never lost a race in my high school year, my senior year. Never lost a race because I let God be the author and finisher of my faith. Tonight, are you ready for what the King is preparing for you today for the rest of your lives here on this earth and when you go to heaven? For in Revelations we find in 22 and 12, listen, says Jesus, I'm coming soon. I will bring my rewards with me to give to each one according to what he has done. Now the scripture text for tonight, because I know you guys are turning your Bibles. The scripture text for tonight is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 61 and 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 61 and 62. Now that is a familiar passage if you have been in church any length of time. He's talking to three would-be disciples that would want to follow him, but I want to focus in on one of those disciples that asks him the question in verse 61 and 62. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
61 says, Luke chapter 9, verse 61 and 62. Another said, I will follow you, Lord. Let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I talked to Pastor Peel. Please be seated, saints. I talked to Pastor Peel and let him know what I was going to bring forth in this message. And he says, just work it. And I'm going to tell you, God has been working me because I've been crying my eyes out. Because that's one question that I have been asking myself. Am I ready? Am I ready? Because when you seriously consider what God is asking you to do, are you focused on what the bishop wants you to do for this house? Are you willing to put your hand to the plow no matter the cost? Are you willing to serve the man of God who hears from God no matter what he asks you to do? That's sometimes you have to ask yourself that question. You got to ponder the thought, because a lot of times we'll quickly say, yeah, I'll do what you want to do, Bishop. But when it comes to the test and it comes time for the asking and for you showing up and we look around, you're not there. You're not there. And it's amazing, isn't it? How we work so hard in this house. And I will tell you, saints, that sometimes, you know, for the past 3 weeks now, sitting there by Bishop's side for a week, laying some floor and some trim and painting and stuff. Sometimes you look around and you just see the same faces over and over again. But that's not my sermon tonight.
All right.
I remember what Bishop told me, I'm not allowed to bite the sheep. So I'm going to stay in my lane. Amen. Now, Jesus was outright honest in telling people that it will cost to follow him. When a would-be disciple approached Jesus, I had to look at my translator back there, make sure I'm okay. And he said he was ready to follow. Jesus told him he would have to require a sacrifice. He had to give up his livelihood. He had to give up all that he knew, all his possessions, everything that he owned that was close and dear to him to follow Jesus. Now, I will tell you, when someone is ready to answer the call, they're not really ready to answer the call, because a lot of times they got to go back home like this young man did. Says, well, let me go back home to my mom and dad and say goodbye. When you do something like that, what happens when you get home to down the road, he's not coming today. So you got some time to wait on him. And they will talk you out of your blessing. But I will tell you, when Jesus looked at him and says, this would-be disciple had no obligation to return home, but simply wanted to go back and say goodbye. Jesus surprised his disciples with the stark truth that nothing should hinder us from following the Lord, from following the man of God, from following what God has called you to do. Was Jesus being harsh and rude to this potential follower? Not really. He was telling him the truth. You see, in verse 62 it says, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, if you know anything about plowing, you know that your attention has to be focused on what you're doing, because we're not talking about a 2002 machine. We're talking about the machine that was back in Jesus' time and before his time, where they strapped it around them, and it was wood, and it was a thing right in front of it that broke up the ground, and you had an ox in front of it. Because now, if you took your eyes off of it, that means you took your eyes off whatever you was doing, and the guy that was way down the field, that was supposed to be your point of reference, that was supposed to keep that line straight, just like this line that's in this carpet right here. That's straight. Amen. Amen. Now, to turn back and look back, this is fatal to any plowman. Because when you turn back, it has to be urgent. But a lot of times it's not urgent, because this may cause you to have an inconsiderate impulse, conflicting duties, and a divided mind. A divided mind. Whatever the circumstances, when the call is made, the choice is yours. There is no pressure. Now, what does the story of the plowman have to do with the call of the Lord? A plowman who looked back while plowing caused his furlow to be crooked. He had to look straight in order to keep that furlough straight. He had to be about the business at hand. He had to focus on what God's work was. Now, if he didn't focus, he swerved out of line, which means I could not have a straight line. I could not put the maximum number of crops and seed along the line. I was going to someone else's furlough, and that's not good. You got to stay in your own lane. You got to stay in your own furlough. But you now, what this would-be disciple wanted to know was, Could he go back home? But you know, the Bible does not state what his response was to Jesus. It ended right there. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 and 21. We're going to go somewhere in the Bible where we did see a response. Yes, sir. Amen? Amen. Amen. When you get there, say amen. Amen. I'd like to say welcome to Pastor Walker. Amen. Oh, man, coming all the way from Baumholden. Amen. I will tell you, I'm going to bite the sheep right now, so forgive me, Bishop. We got some saints of God right here in Ramstein, Miesenbach Village. You can't come out, but he come all the way up an hour up the road just to say hello to the saints of God. Amen. Amen. Now, amen. Now, are you there, saints of God? So Elijah, I'm beginning in verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat. Am I pronouncing that correctly, saints? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah, and he became his attendant. Let's go back to verse 19. Therefore, Elijah went from there and found Elijah and the son of Shaphat. He was plying with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. There's a lot of pack in this verse, and what I want to do is unpack this, because he was plowing. He was not being idle. He was back some business that his father had. Now, let me set the stage for you, because when I read this, you know, when I'm young, I read this scripture, and then this week when I read this, I said, boom. Elijah was plowing in a field that had not been rained on for 3 years. Now, if you ever lived in the desert, you know how hard the ground is. I will tell you that the ground is so hard that you have rocks You had tree stumps. You had things that would just hinder you from plowing the ground. Now, this man was out there with 12 teams of oxen or ox plowing the ground. Now, these brothers were serious about what they was doing because it had not rained for 3 years. And it had rained after what Elijah did on Mount Carmel, and it had rained, and it brought rain. And I said, now, there's rain. There's rain. Now, it may not rain again. Elijah's father probably went into his room and says, get up. Get up. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Get up. Get the ox. Get the plows. Get the servants. Let's get busy. So let's go. What did Elijah do? He got his servants. He got his oxen. He got all the equipment that he needed to go out there. Now, when he was out there, there was 12 teams, which there's 12 drivers. There was also spotters out there, front and back, because I will tell you that his father, Shaphat, was a blessed man, because anybody who had oxen strong enough after the 3-year drought was blessed by God. Was blessed by God. These oxen were not thin, they were fat and healthy. God took care of them because God blessed them in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God. And then as they were tilling the ground and stuff and breaking it up, oh, they was having a good time. Now, Elijah was not a spoiled kid, because I will tell you, church folks, some of us who have money don't know how to work. If you remember what Pastor Peel said last week, if you have 2 or more oxen, your father is rich. Now, I will tell you, there was 12 team of oxen. Now, you guys probably say that was 12 oxen. That was not 12 ox. That was 24. 24, because there was a team of oxen on each plowman. There was 2 oxen, because to break up that fallow ground that was dry for 3 years, you need a team of 2 oxen per driver to break up that ground, which means there were 24 oxen, which means Elijah's father wanted for nothing. Anything that he wanted, he was equivalent to Bill Gates in 2002. Anything he wanted, he got. And I will tell you, he was blessed by God, and he took care of God's business. Now, the literal reading in Hebrew says that Elijah was plowing with 2 and 10 pairs before him. Before him might seem to indicate that they were all in front of his plow, but in Hebrew, the word before often means in full view, under the eye of, at the disposal of, which means he was in control of all these oxen, which means he was still with his servants. He was not sitting on the sideline beneath a shade tree. There was no shade tree to be found, telling his servants what to do. Where was he at? He was working with his hand to the plow. He was bringing forth. He was working. Now, he was not in charge. He was working alongside his father's servants. But see, later, this is borne out when he slaughtered a pair of oxen. Boy, I need to get to this. Either way you look at it, he was a worker. This is how Elijah found Elijah, hard at work, doing what had to be done, being about his father's business. Yes. Does that remind you of somebody? What was Jesus doing for 3 decades? Being about his father's business before he was released to go do his business for his father in heaven. Amen? Same thing Elijah was doing. You see, Elijah represented the introductory of the Aaronic priesthood after the law of Moses, of which John the Baptist was the most notable representative. And Elijah represents the fullness of the Melchizedek priesthood, the double portion of the Holy Spirit. Elijah is in many ways a shadow of Christ. The feeding of 100 by Elijah and the feeding of 5,000 by Jesus. Your history lesson for tonight. Back to my text. Well, I can't see him. That's why I keep looking around the corner. Amen. Now, let's look at verse 19. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. If Elijah was like any of us when he was outside working hard and stuff, Elijah was behind the plow with his servants. He probably just had just enough to keep the sweat off his brow, but Elijah was dirty. His tribe was kind of stinking. Now, here comes a man with a camel wool coat in the summer. That is equivalent to a parka being thrown on you in Palm Springs, California at 121 degrees. Now, did Elijah get upset? No. My brother stopped. He recognized what that meant because that was Elijah's mantle. That was his anointing that he was placing on him. Now, when he did this, he said, He didn't say nothing but I will tell you, some of us would say, what does Bishop want me to do? Because sometimes, one day, Bishop's going to walk up to you and say, you know, I want you to go to the west side of Frankfort, and I want you to start a church there, and I want you to have your house there so your saints can come visit you. And you look at him and says, let me think about this. I got to give up my job. I got to give up this beautiful praise and worship team here, and I got to give up all these things right here just to go to Frankfort. Now, what's in Frankfort for me? My wife doesn't want to go, and I won't tell Bishop that. There's no job there for me because now I got to give up my job in Ramstein, and I don't want to commute back and forth. No, the man of God has asked you. And you're looking for confirmation from your wife and from everybody else before you say, yes, man of God, I will go and open up that church for you in West Frankfort because there is a need there in that city. I will live there and take care of the people because I will believe that you will provide for me. Because once that man of God speaks over you, over your life, what's going to happen? You will be blessed because everything he speaks, God will honor in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, let's go to verse 20. Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Now, Elijah did not stick around and wait for pressure, wait for permission. He ran after Elijah and he said, there's no pressure here for you to follow me. He knew that the pressure would come from God because if it was really in his heart to follow Elijah, God would be there and say, this is what you need to do. And that's exactly what God did to him. God said, this is where you need to go. This is the man you need to follow. Yet, when God plants the seed in the heart, we have to understand, Ursus, forgive me for doing this now. When I throw the seed out there, you got to remember, all I'm doing is throwing the seed. God is the only one who can break the hole. Allow the plant to come forth. He's the only one who can just convince this seed to come out of his little bitty cabinet box and say, come alive. He's the only one that can do that. We can't do that no matter how much we pretend that we are watering, how much we pretend that we're putting fertilizer on it, how much we pretend that we're covering it with some good dirt. The only person who can bring the increase is God. Is God.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Gisteren hebben we geluisterd naar een Amerikaanse militair en vandaag ook. Prijs God. En morgen hebben we Bishop Gilbert en die zal morgen ook het woord brengen. Zijn allemaal vrienden van ons. Prijs de naam van Jezus. We zijn begonnen met Pastor Darlene. Amen. En we hebben haar leren kennen in Mannheim in 1999. Fijne vrouw. Prijs God. Ook haar man. Amen. Ja, ze komt in mei weer naar Europa. En misschien krijgen we er ook hier in Amsterdam. Laten we luisteren naar dit lied. Ja. Telefoonnummer is 020-672-2532. 020-672-2532.
Father of life, draw me closer.
Let the peace of God reign. Yes. We need it, Lord. Till the Battle is Over. Dit is de uitzending van Joshua Radio in de zendtijd van Radio Zephania. U genoot heeft van de uitzending van vandaag.
Yes.
We wensen u een hele fijne avond toe.
Yes.
May God bless you all. Ciao, ciao everyone, until next time.